to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
And Anne will be back with us coming up in just a bit. We have had to Frankenstein an episode together this week. So bits and pieces will be recorded here and there throughout the week, and then hopefully we'll get it up to you by Friday. Kat, before we jump in, tell everybody your big news.
So I accepted a job offer with Magical Travel, and I am now a Disney World travel agent.
That is so cool. So before we get into the news, because I think this is something that a lot of people that listen to Disney podcasts, not just those on the White Dragon Network, but any Disney World podcast that has a travel agent, whether it's sponsor or a member of the show or whatever, always thinks, I think I could do this. And, you know, you and I talking off air, it seems like as long as you know your stuff, it's pretty easy to get involved with.
Yes. So basically, I so you want me to tell how I got the job?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So basically, I just went to Magical Travel because I had actually used them for this last trip, the girls' trip. And I used them for the convenience of keeping track of each person's payments because I didn't want to be responsible for other people's money.
Right.
I went to the Magical Travel agent's website, or just Magical Travel website, and one of the buttons is join our team. So I filled out an application. A couple weeks later, I had heard back from the owner asking me to fill out a Disney questionnaire, and it's basically asking how much you know about the Disney resorts. Like, it has questions like, what are the list all the moderate resorts, mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And then, she asked if I wanted to do a phone interview. And the next day we talked on the phone for a little bit. She kind of asked about myself and then what my goal is for being a Walt Disney World travel agent. And then, she told me about the company and like how she founded it. And then, we kind of talked it over, sent a contract, figured it was, a good opportunity for me and my husband at this time in our life, and I sent in the contract, and I started Tuesday officially.
Well, very cool. So give people your email address if they want to get in touch with you to help out booking any travel reservations.
So my email address is Katarina, and I'll spell it out, Katarina, @magicaltravel.com, and it will I can help you with quotes, choosing a resort, choosing what dates to stay. I will, which most people listening to this podcast probably know what days to avoid. But if you ever wanted to try a deluxe resort and need to know which one, I can totally help you out without that or whatever else you need.
All right. Well, very cool. Well, with all that being said, let's jump into the news.
Okay. So our first bit of news is that Discovery Island Trail, which is the trail that's underneath the Tree of Life, has been open for the first time in almost 2 years. Trails around the center of the island are still closed, but it's kind of nice to still like be able to walk around the Tree of Life. And they brought some kangaroos to look at, which I thought was cool because I've never seen a kangaroo in a zoo before, I don't think.
Really? So they, when yeah. my wife and I first moved to North Carolina, we went to the North Carolina Zoo, and at the time they were doing a limited run Australia exhibit, and these kangaroos that they had could not have looked more miserable if this was like a sad comedy kind of thing. But it's interesting. I guess it makes sense where there's not an Australia section of Animal Kingdom. They have to find neutral space for them. It's just very, like, such a big animal exhibit around the Tree of Life.
Yeah, and I honestly, I didn't even, like, realize that they were closed because we've walked part of the Tree of Life, or, like, part of this Discovery Island Trail, but I didn't realize, looking at these pictures, I was like, whoa, you got, like, really close to the Tree of Life. I'm sure there's probably pictures of me, like, right next to the Tree of Life, and I just don't remember.
Well, I will say, just a memory jog for everybody that might remember the episode, our friend Leonard Kinsey, the author of Dark Side of Disney, did list the closed part of that trail as one of the places to get busy in the parks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
All right, what else do we have in the news?
So, a couple episodes ago, we talked about how there was a casting call for Doctor Strange,
Yes.
and how that was going to be a new meet and greet. Well, guess what, people? It's not actually going to happen. So Doctor Strange comes out in theaters on Friday, and I guess nothing says why it didn't happen, but it just didn't. And instead, the Moana preview is coming to One Man's Dream, and that's about it.
I wonder if it is they were casting probably knowing they weren't going to do it, but hoping that at the 11th hour one of their lawyers would find a loophole in the Universal contract that would let them bring Doctor Strange into the park.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not really disappointed because, like I said, the last time we talked about Doctor Strange, it didn't really catch my eye. But, you know.
I will tell you, I saw it, and I'm not saying it's bad. So nerds, calm down. But boy, I mean, this is just the. Well, I'll say this for Disney fans: watch the movie and tell me that Doctor Strange's cape is not somehow related to Aladdin's magic carpet.
Oh my
The
gosh.
way it moves, it's a little too silly for my taste, and I'm not a big superhero movie fan to begin with, so I have a low threshold. So maybe if you're a fan of the character, you'll like it. But I'm kind of with you. I'm not really super broken up about it. I do, like I said, I do wonder if they were hoping that they could find some loophole that bringing in Doctor Strange would then lead to the bigger move of whether it's bringing in all of Marvel, taking Marvel away from Universal, whatever it happened to be. I think it was pretty pie in the sky dreams to think they were going to get the character into the parks in the first place.
Yeah, and my question is, where would they have had the meet and greet? Because Hollywood Studios, everything is closed, and so would you have had it at outside of Walt's One Man's Dream?
So actually, here's something that just dawned on me, like literally just dawned on me. I wonder if the plan was not to put it in the park, but if it was to have some sort of special event at the theaters the night it opened.
Oh, maybe that would make sense.
Yeah, because then, I mean, it's the way they get away with the store on the west side,
Yeah.
that, that's technically not in a theme park.
Yeah.
All right, what else do
Does
we
make
have?
sense. So did you miss Food and Wine Festival this year? That's okay because they're basically extending it. There's gonna be a Holidays Around the World celebration in Epcot from November 25th to December 30th. And basically from what I was reading, it is like I said, Food and Wine extended. There are going to be kiosks around World Showcase from different countries that offer like holiday traditional food
Now, is
and
it as
drinks.
many as are part of the Food and Wine
No,
celebration?
there's not as many. But there were, let me see. I know I counted at least six kiosks around the world.
Now, are they coinciding with countries that are already there, or are these in addition?
No, they just coincide with the countries that are already there.
I mean, I feel like we are only a few years away from Food and Wine, either 1 year-long event or Food and Wine just becoming a permanent part of World Showcase. I mean, Disney has to be doing the math on how much money they're losing out on not having it.
Right. And the thing is, like, we even call the Flower and Garden Festival Food and Wine Mini,
Right,
or
exactly.
and so like this is just extending it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, if Food and Wine is Food and Wine, I think that Flower and Garden, actually, they have really with Flower and Garden, that might as well be like food and beer now, because there's so much about brewing that has popped up in the last two or three Flower and Garden festivals.
Yeah. And you know, people who want to have their American holiday dinner can just go to the America Pavilion and get the turkey, cranberry,
Yeah.
potatoes, green beans, you know. And then you can also get drinks there as well. I mean, it is just this is holiday dine and drink,
Yeah, I mean,
basically.
I guess whether or not they do food and wine year round, or whether they just come up with different themes for food and wine, like, holidays around the world, flower and garden. I'm sure at some point there'll be like a harvest festival kind of thing. It's Disney has to recognize how many people come to the park just for the food and wine festival, and maybe that's the boost that Epcot gets for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, maybe. And this does bring in, it will bring in a lot of crowds, it will, and it will bring in a lot of money for them. So there's nothing wrong with it. I just kind of wish that it, like you said, it would just be a year-round thing, announcement officially.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Okay, so we have a couple of rumors that they all coincide with each other, because they're all from the same park.
Okay.
So the first one we have is that Walt Disney World's Tower of Terror is once again up for the spot for the Guardians of the Galaxy makeover, and that Epcot plans are no longer there. They're still probably going to redesign Ellen's Universe of Energy to Tron or something similar, but it's cheaper to overlay Tower of Terror than it is Ellen's Universe of Energy. So, like I said, nothing is actually stated. It's still a rumor, but I'm still upset about it.
I don't believe this for a second. I just don't believe it. I mean, California, it was an easy replacement to make because even the Imagineers will tell you they're not particularly proud of California's version of the Tower of Terror. The one in Florida, I mean, it's in its short time of existence, which I think was 94, I think it came online. So in 22 years, it has attained the same status as Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, any of the mountains. I mean, it's one of the signature attractions of Disney World. I have a hard time believing they're going to take it away.
I know, and it's also currently right now it's Hollywood Studios Icon.
Right.
So, but I don't know. This is from a huge insider though on the Diz boards, and it's WDW 1974, and he's the one who originally told us about the Guardians of the Galaxy makeover rumor for Disneyland.
Yeah.
So, I
And
mean,
here's the
it's
other
a
reason
rumor.
here's the other reason I just don't believe it is Tron was a flop. There's no way they're going to put Tron in the in Epcot.
But it's that ride is hugely popular in Shanghai, from what I understand.
Because I think if I remember right, they were kind of locked into a Tron attraction with that park, which is the only reason it went forward. I don't like you can't tell me that if they did the exact same design but with a Guardians of the Galaxy theme instead of a Tron theme, it wouldn't be just as popular because people don't go on the roller coasters for the theming, they go on it for the thrills.
True.
I mean, like, which one is it? Rock and Roller Coaster is the most wasted, elaborately themed attraction ever. Because, yeah, I mean, how often do you really take in everything that's there?
Okay, well, I actually really enjoyed the video before. Like,
Oh,
when you're.
you nerd.
I know, but I just remember, like, when I was. I guess it had to be 7th grade. Like, and they were like, the time I like really paid attention to the video, and they're like, "Hey, we got you backstage tickets." Like, I like believed it, and I know, like, I knew I was at Disney World, but like, I just really felt like it was part of the experience.
I mean, like the beforehand is one thing, but when you're on the ride, if you slow down, if you were ever to be able to go through Rock and Roller Coaster at like 10 miles per hour and take in all the detail, there's some real detail there, right? But
Yeah.
no one is riding it to check out the detail of Hollywood below. You're riding it because the two inverts, and it's the only two inverts in all of Disney World.
Well, I was gonna say, like, that's another thing. Like, I really felt like I was a little limo going through Hollywood traffic. But here's another part of the rumor. Rock and Roller Coaster is rumored to, and this has kind of been a rumor for a while, but there's big speculation that it's going to be rethemed to something not Aerosmith, just because it's not as Aerosmith is not as popular. Hold on, I'm trying to look at this.
A few years ago, this all started when Steven Tyler had a relapse a few years ago. And you know, Disney kind of wanted to distance themselves because a lot of it was very public about what this guy was going through and the way he was distancing himself from people and lying about his sobriety and all that kind of stuff. And at that time, the first rumor that popped up was that it was going to be rethemed to Phineas and Ferb, since so much of that show tied into music. But now we're, what, 2 years removed from that show going off air? I can't imagine that's what it's going to be now.
No, well, and another reason why people are, like, thinking it's really going to happen soon is because the merchandise used to say Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith.
Right.
And now, like, it just has Mickey Mouse Rock and Roller Coaster stuff.
I believe last time we were there, we noticed a lot of the, because you know they also sold just Aerosmith t-shirts and CDs and stuff, and we noticed a lot of it deeply discounted.
Yeah,
to get rid of it. I wonder if this becomes, and I don't know why they would keep the name Rock and Roller Coaster, but I wonder if this becomes a showcase for Radio Disney, maybe.
Oh, that would, you know, that could kind of make sense.
I mean, I think it makes the most sense of any of the options, because there's no band you're going to retheme it to.
No, because all the Disney Channel bands lose interest in three.
Yeah, they're here today, gone
years.
Tomorrow, and I don't really know, like, the most popular American band right now, like that sort of spans generations all the way down to younger. I mean, maybe it's Foo Fighters, but they don't have, they're not like a brand name the way Aerosmith is.
Right. And I mean, yeah, I like Foo Fighters, but I still think Aerosmith is more classic, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Foo Fighters is one of my favorite bands, but I don't think that I would say they could carry the marketing weight that Aerosmith could when that roller coaster came out.
Right. So we have two more things that pertain to Hollywood Studios that I just want to get to as well. So remember the name, we heard that the name was going to be changed.
Right.
And the name that was thrown out there was Hollywood Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's not going to be it. And this is the quote. It's going to get a new sexy name.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
So at one point I had heard Cinemagic Kingdom was put out there, which, I mean, I don't hate. I know a lot of people do. I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think it's bad, but I think it would get really confusing.
Yes, I agree. I don't think it's the best name they could possibly come up with, but I don't think it's a bad name.
Maybe if they did like something that was just Cinemagic, like not even putting the kingdom in there.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. I mean, there is there is, in fact, the only truly good attraction at Paris's, I think it's just called Walt Disney Studios over there, is called Cinemagique. And it's, I think, everything the next generation of like theme park 3D shows should be, because now every theater you go to is 3D. Those things aren't special anymore. Cinemagic, I think, would be a fine name for the park. I think, was that the name of the first fireworks show at MGM?
I don't know.
I have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone now is going to comment and tell me what an idiot I am for not knowing the exact
Probably. I claim that I remember when Hollywood Studios was MGM, and it actually took me forever not to call it MGM. I think I started calling it Hollywood Studios like only 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's just easier to say studios, because then you know everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm going to play the age card and say I don't remember the first fireworks show because I was not born yet.
Touché.
And then the last thing is that Star Wars Land is going to be a lot like Harry Potter, where that it won't have Coke products or your typical theme park food, and it's not even going to have like credit card signs. It's going to make you feel like you're actually in a galaxy far, far away.
It's what they have to do. I mean, Harry Potter set the standard for that kind of thing. You cannot do anything less if you're Disney.
Exactly. And so I think that's going to be kind of cool. But I'll be interested to see what the food is like. But I remember that comment that you made after episode 7, where you were like, pay attention to the food while you watch it next time. And I'm sure a lot of the food that we saw in the movie will be there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is a reason that you get a close-up of that bread sort of thing that Ray pours water in and foams up
Yeah.
and for her to eat. There's they're probably, I would say watch what they're going to be eating in Rogue One too, because they've
Yeah.
got like food and drink was not very focused on in the original trilogy.
Definitely not.
All right, is that all we have?
That's all we have.
All right, emails this week and the return of Anne, so stick around inside the Extra Magic Hour. You want to give me a bye now?
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Hey, WDPN listeners. This is Allie Eibler from the Geek Watchtower. And as you know, we live in the golden age of geek culture. With all the movies, television shows, comic books, video games encompassing the world of geekdom, it can be a real chore to keep up with all of it. Well, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, we have a little something called the Geek Watchtower. Kevin Kessler, Chris Doherty, and I run down the latest geek news items every Friday morning for you, before we focus on a fandom feature topic of the week. We're talking about everything from Batman to the Avengers, anime, Doctor Who, Disney, Nintendo, and so much more. So make sure you join Kevin, Chris, and I every Friday morning in the Geek Watchtower, where we monitor all the things that geeks watch. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Well, look who decided to show her face. Hi.
Hey,
hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm so good. What a great break from you.
Man, that's really mean and unnecessary.
Just kidding. Love you.
Oh, sis. I love you, too. I love you, too. Well, we've gotten a lot of questions about where you've been, so where have you been?
On drugs.
Okay, this is a family podcast. If you're going to use that kind of language, you can just go to the Tiki Room.
Dang.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I haven't been on drugs.
Oh, thank God. Where have you been?
I've been moving and a shaking and a grooving.
And then you lived like a hobo for a while with no internet.
A little bit.
Weird.
No, I had internet, but the house I lived in didn't have AC. And so I had all these giant fans blowing all the time. And if I turned the fans off, it was like a heat pit. And it was pretty miserable. So it was like 100 and something degrees. And if I recorded with the fans on, then it sounded like...
Dang, that's a good impression of a fan.
Right?
That's a really good impression of a fan. You should go on tour.
I've been working on it for the past like month and a half, and now that I'm in Nashville, I'm going to try to make my way into the biz.
That's great. Let's get you and the guy with the puppets on tour together. All right. So this week we're going to do some emails. emhpodcast@gmail.com is the place to email us. And you've got them in front of you. What do people want to know this week?
Let's see. The first one says, hey guys, I've been a fan of the show for a while now and was wondering how many times have you guys been to the parks? And that is from Richard in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
What up, Minneapolis?
Escapade. You remember when our aunt did the makeup for that video?
Yeah, she actually posted a picture of it on Instagram the other day.
No way.
Way.
Cool. Well, first of all, Richard, we've been a big fan of you for a long time.
I love Richard.
I'm going to guess that I have been to the park. So we're saying Disneyland visits and Disney World visits are different, right?
Yeah, I would guess so.
Okay. Okay, well, that takes out two. I'm going to say I've been about 40 times would be my guess.
I don't know how to really judge my answer because I probably have three different ones. I would say family vacations, I would say between 30 and 40 as well. But I also used to live down there and work there for 2 years. So if you're counting day trips to the park for the 2 years I was down there, I'd say that's probably 75 times. I would guess I went about once a week. And then if we're counting me actually working there, I work there 5 to 6 days a week, every single week, including holidays, for over 100 weeks. So I would guess I was there about 200 something times.
So 100 times 5 or 6 in your mind is 200?
No, there's 50, oh, wait. Wait, no, there's 52 weeks in a year, and I work 6 days a week for 52 weeks.
Now, you probably worked 6 days a week for 50 weeks, because you came up to visit us during that time.
Okay,
so 6 days a week for 50 weeks, that would be 300.
All right, and I did that for 2 years.
Okay, that's 600, not 200.
It's the same thing.
Jesus, I just want you to give yourself some credit. You're a real Disney aficionado. You're a real Disney diva, girl.
Oh, I know what's going on in my wine glass this year.
All right, what's next?
Next one says, hey, Ann and Dimitri, I love
you.
Hey, okay, don't interrupt me.
Sorry, I was saying hi.
My husband and I have been listening in preparation for our trip at the end of November. I was wondering if you have any suggestions on some stuff to do at Disney that you'd consider hidden gems or don't miss. Thanks. And that is from Seema in North Dakota.
Well, Seema, first of all, when you get into your hotel room, turn on the must-do channel. They tell you everything.
That's true. You don't need our advice.
No, it's time to do the must-do. Oh, fun. Hidden gems or I don't know when you go so often it's hard to figure out what is a hidden gem and what is something everybody knows about.
Yeah.
Let's see. I would say is it just the two of them? Do they mention going with kids?
No, it just doesn't say. It just says my husband and I. So I would guess it's just the two of them.
All right. Well then I would say find if it's just the two of you. I would say try and hit a signature restaurant. I mean, I would say every night if you can. If you don't feel like that's in your budget, try and hit at least three.
Yeah, I would say Tiffin's is a must-do.
Yeah, Tiffin's is a must-do, but I'm trying to think of outside the parks. I mean, obviously, Sanaa, we talk about a lot on this podcast, how much we like it.
Yeah.
I think Artist Point at the...
the Wilderness
Lodge. Yeah, is a great one. I'll tell you what's a good hidden gem if you are a drinker, and even if you're not, Crockett's, the bar at Fort Wilderness, is, I think, at night a great place to sit on the patio and look out at Bay Lake, or even look out if you can. I think you probably cannot see the fireworks from there, but that's just a very nice, very scenic area.
I don't think I've been there before.
Yeah, the only time I've ever been was the time you didn't come down with us.
Okay, that's rude.
Okay, well, hey. Do they say what time of year they're going?
It says end of November.
Oh, end of November? Oh, well, then go to Fort Wilderness anyway and drive through the campground and see all the campers and RVs Christmas displays. They're great.
Yeah, I would say if you have time, if it is just the two of you and you're not having to worry about kids' schedules and stuff, I would make a day or at least half a day just to go and visit at least the deluxe resorts, because all of them are just beautiful during Christmas and there's a lot of things to do around there. And it's definitely easier to do all of it without having to have kids with you, so you can really spend time and get to see things. Another thing that I like to do is at Port Orleans, their bar that's in there. What's the guy that plays the piano? Sideshow Bob?
No, Sideshow Bob is on The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's The Simpsons.
He goes by like Piano Bob or Piano Pete or something like that.
Yeah, he's really fun. And the show, I mean, he always packs a pretty big crowd. This, you know, that hotel's really nice in general, and it's just kind of a fun thing to do if you don't want to be in the park all day long. Another thing that I haven't really done, but I've always wanted to do, is all the water stuff that you can do on Bay Lake, like renting a boat or, I mean, I always wanted to do parasailing on Bay Lake. but they have a lot of different, like, water activities you can do on Bay Lake. And, I mean, you know, it is Orlando, so it doesn't get too cold. So I think I'm pretty sure it'd still be, you would still be able to do stuff like that, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else off the top of my head, or that's not coming off the top of my head, that I'm missing. I would say one day, if it's not too hot, and it shouldn't be, or I guess it shouldn't be by Orlando standards, instead of waiting on a boat or a bus, I walk from the studios to Epcot, because you get to walk down the boardwalk, you get to walk through the Yacht and Beach Club. It's a nice little scenic walk, so that's something that is nice, a nice little walk, a nice little fun thing to do. That's kind of all I can think of off the top of my head.
The boardwalk, too, I think is a really nice area. Now that they're redoing it, it might be worth spending a little, I wouldn't say spend a whole afternoon, but a couple hours. It's a very relaxing little space, and there's restaurants and bars. I know they've opened some new stuff there, too.
Yeah, I tell you what, go to Abracadabar and give us a full report. Because I don't drink anymore, I have no reason to go in there, because I don't even think they do small plates, but I've heard theming-wise, it's just amazing.
And go get some of that ice cream from the new ice cream place and let us know.
Oh, dang, good idea.
All right, the next one says, "Hey, guys, I'm a listener from the UK, and I'm planning my family's first Walt Disney World vacation for next spring. We plan to be in the Orlando area for 2 weeks, and I was curious if you guys have any suggestions for things to do outside of Disney. We will be renting a car for a few days in hopes of seeing some other sites around Florida. It's my wife and kids' first time in the U.S. I'm trying to get in as many sites as I can. Thank you." And that's Alan from Brighton.
Top of the morning, Governor.
I was going to say, oh, mate.
Right. Oh, man, we are having fun.
We are just, I mean, we are rocking and rolling today.
You know what's funny? I bet he's never heard that joke before.
I bet he hasn't either. I bet we're bringing some new material to him.
Hello, hello. Right, right. Like Austin Powers. Isn't everyone over there like that?
That's good.
That is good. All right, so you would know this more than I would, I think. Because outside of the parks, all I've ever done... Now, is he saying outside of the parks, like, not even Universal and stuff like that?
I would guess so. I would think that's a given.
Yeah, I mean... because all I've done outside the parks is go to an Orlando Magic game and go to a strip club.
Ooh.
So I'll tell you all about that later.
That's going to be on our X-rated midnight edition.
the triple extra magic hour.
And it's going to have like a little thing of static over the whole thing of the episode.
I don't get it.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. Jeez. Oh, I get it now. That's an old cable TV joke. I gotcha.
See? I'm okay. Seasoned.
Move the antenna that way. I see a nipple.
Things to do. I wouldn't say you're missing much in Orlando. There are a couple of really, really beautiful natural springs around the Orlando area, and if you just Google them, you'll be able to find some of them. But natural springs in Florida, they're very, very pretty. I used to go to them all the time the last few years that I lived down there, and they're always really fun to go see. Tampa isn't that far away.
Woo!
Downtown Tampa is a lot of fun. Cocoa Beach is only about 2 hours away, too, if you wanted to see, the beach. Trying to think what else is... Oh, Tarpon Springs is a lot of fun, too. I don't really know what to suggest, because I don't know what type of things that he's looking for, but...
Yeah, I mean, just some of the bigger stuff, just to give you some tips. if you are thinking about going to see the Kennedy Space Center, understand that is a whole day, not just in terms of being close to an hour away, but also there is a lot to see there. So keep that in mind. If you're going to Cocoa Beach, I mean, it is fun just to watch the cruise ships take off if you can time getting there right.
Yeah. I would definitely, I mean, my must do would be, I would definitely check out a natural spring while you're down there. I think there's one, it's called like Silver Lake Springs or something. It's where all the manatees are and you can feed the manatees. I think you can swim with them as well. But it's beautiful. And if you want to go for good food and eat, I would do Tarpon Springs, which is it's known to be kind of like a little Greek seaside community, and it's gotten to be a very popular tourist destination, but they have wonderful, wonderful restaurants, and it's right on the water, and it's fun to walk around there. They have little markets and everything, so.
If you are a Scientologist or just curious, you could go to Clearwater.
That's true. Oh, there's a, oh gosh, I forget the name of the little town that's around Orlando, but it's a...
Miami.
Yes. It's a town that's dedicated to a bunch of mediums and tarot readers, and I forget the name of it, but that's what the whole town is known for, which I've never been, but apparently it's supposed to be really fun. So if you're into witchcraft.
All right, what's next?
Next one says, hello, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now and really love it.
Well, thanks.
A lot of other Walt Disney World podcasts talk about their Disney Circle outside of the parks, and I was just wondering if either of you guys have any involvement in the Disney community outside of your trips in this podcast. Keep up the great work. And that is from Brock in Nashville.
Well, first of all, you should become best friends with him.
Brock, hit me up.
Secondly, what a badass name.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of Latrell from the Backstreet Boys. They used to call him B-Rock.
Makes sense. It's a good name.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. I made some friends with some other Disney podcasters. I'm friends with the people on the White Dragon network, and have been on their shows from time to time. But I mean, I enjoy a nice break from Disney every now and then too. I like to experience the real world, man.
That's deep.
That's why I only go 3 or 4 times a year.
I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not really involved in any Disney things outside of this podcast and the trips, you know, we go on. I mean, I watch a lot of Disney YouTubers and stuff. There's a couple people that they like daily vlog, and they live in Orlando, and you know, will film their time around the parks and stuff. And I just find it really interesting because they have a large following, therefore they're very connected with Disney because Disney has recognized them as, you know, having almost, you know, millions of subscribers and kind of give them backstage looks at things. So, I mean, other than that, that's really all I kind of follow. I don't really have a lot of Disney obsessed friends the way that we are, but I don't know.
I mean, I have a few friends that are into Run Disney the way we are, but that's kind of it, really. It's always fun whenever you go out and you see someone else wearing the Run Disney New Balance shoes, because you know instantly that at the very least they've experienced all the hoopla around Run Disney events.
Right.
In fact, last night at our neighborhood Halloween party, there was a guy dressed up like Goofy wearing the Goofy New Balance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I showed him I was wearing my Mickey New Balance, and we high-fived.
That's awesome. Are you BFFs now?
Not really. He's old.
Dang. Misconnection.
I guess. So, what else is out there?
What do you mean? Like emails or?
Yes, sis, emails.
Okay, well, I don't know if we were still talking about other Disney connections.
Oh, hi, everyone. My name's Ann, and I'm a totes dingus.
Okay. It's my first day back. Can we not?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. You. Hey, everyone. I'm Ann, and I'm half a dingus, half a swell gal.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Hey, Anna Dimitri, my brother and I are taking my mom to Disney for Mother's Day next year, and I want to get your advice on taking midday breaks. I'll only be there for 4 days, so I'm a bit concerned about wasting a lot of time by going back to the hotel. That's from Charlotte in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, I would need to know what hotel she's at.
Well, we don't.
I mean, look, you have to set aside time. Understand that because you're coming from Colorado, I'm guessing you're not driving. Unless you're renting a car, you're going to be at the mercy of Disney transportation. So yeah. However long of a break you want to take, I would suggest adding an hour to that to get a real idea of how long you're going to be outside the park.
Right. I think, too, if you haven't booked your hotel already yet, if you can afford to splurge and go to a higher-end hotel that has better transportation than some of the budget hotels, that might be something to consider, too, because it will save you a lot of time if that's what you're worried about. But it is hard to do a full day in the park without taking a break, especially during that time of year. One, because it's really busy, and two, it gets very, very hot.
So let me throw out a couple of suggestions. In lieu of a midday break, I would consider starting a day that you're going to, like, either Animal Kingdom or probably more appropriately the studios. Just start it later. Spend the first part of the day outside the park, whether it's at Disney Springs, at the pool, whatever your mom likes to do outside the parks. Do that the first part of the day and then go in to whatever park you're going to well after lunchtime. That's one way to conserve some energy. Another thing I would do is if you're going to a park multiple days, consider that you don't have to spend the evening at the park. So if like your plan is to go to Magic Kingdom two or even three times, as I know a few people do in that short of a span, remember, you don't have to see Wishes every single night. You can call it an earlier night, and that's going to get you back to the hotel at a more reasonable time that you can go to bed and have the energy to do this all again. Disney is exhausting.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I would also, depending on what type of things your mom likes to do ride-wise, if she is like our mom at all and doesn't like to do mini rides, you will definitely be saving a lot of time by bypassing, Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain, all that type of stuff too. So that will very much cut down your time at the park if you're not waiting for those things as well. So
you know what, too? If your mom is the type that doesn't like to do, thrill rides, or maybe she's not great with crowds and long lines, sort of seek out some of the good, like, kind of Oasis-y, hidden gym quiet spots and take your breaks inside the parks. I mean, it's totally doable. There are great ones.
I've seen many people nap on benches inside the park.
Absolutely. In World Showcase, there are so many nooks and crannies and alleyways, you are guaranteed to find something somewhere that will give you a good quiet stopping point. Say Tom Sawyer Island is another great place to take a nice little rest.
And now that Ellen's Energy Adventure is leaving, there is a reason why people like to go in there for their midday breaks. So it's air conditioned and dark and 45 minutes, and you can sit down and take a nap, and it gives you an excuse to see it before it leaves.
Oh, that's a great idea. I mean, same with Hall of Presidents is usually that way. Maybe a little less so right now because it's an election year, but usually the American Adventure is that way too. Shows are definitely your friends.
The TTA is another really good one too, because that a lot of times, if it's not super busy, they'll let you stay on it a few times and you can just sit and relax, which, I mean, that's what we do a lot of times if we want to sit down for a second.
Yeah, but that time of year you're going, there's a very real chance it's going to be busy, and the TTA will shockingly have a wait. So just be aware of that. Maybe the first time you're in Magic Kingdom, scope out where people are not, and just make a mental note.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's all I got to add.
Okay, cool.
Next question.
Oh, dang.
Hey guys, have either of you ever done any adventures by Disney? I haven't heard many podcasts talk about it before. That's from Nathan from Florida.
We almost did. We almost did when we went out to run the Star Wars half marathon at Disneyland, because they were offering an awesome package that was basically 4 week. You go out to LA, and in addition to time in the parks, there was also a tour of the Jim Henson Studios and a tour of the Walt Disney Studios. It's just, I mean, like, here's the thing, and this is true of Disney World, it's true of the cruise lines, it is expensive. I mean, it's insanely expensive, and you have to block out a lot of time. That's, we just could not justify the cost and the time to make it happen.
I know they just started doing one here in Nashville, too.
No way. Do you get to be a country star?
I think so.
Cool.
I've never done one. I honestly don't really have any interest in doing them. I've looked at them before just out of curiosity, and to me it is, I don't know, if I go to a new place that's not a Disney park, I feel like I could do a lot more for a lot less money if I just went and planned a trip on my own than investing the money into an adventure by Disney package.
It is the kind of thing that I've been told that if you have young kids, like my wife and I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, and you don't want to give up the ability to go to these amazing places that Adventures by Disney goes to, like South America is one that we've talked about doing before, or African safari, stuff like that, that they have, like, you're all together as a family, but they cater your tour so that the adults get something out of it and the kids get something completely different out of it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to consider before doing anything like Adventures by Disney. It really depends on what you're looking for as an individual. Me personally, as where I am right now, I wouldn't do it. It's not very beneficial to me. I kind of like to wander around new places anyway and not be on any guided tours. So I don't think I'd get anything from it. And if I'm going to spend that much on a Disney vacation, I want to be inside of a Disney park and have the luxury of staying in a nice resort if I'm going to shell out that much money.
I will say this, just as a counterpoint to what you're saying, having gone to France without a tour guide, there were times that we're walking through like Notre Dame or these other beautiful old cathedrals, and you're walking past or you're walking inside, and there's beautiful stained glass art and sculptures and stuff like that, and everything is written in Latin or French. So you're looking at it, you're thinking, well, so is that Jesus? That's okay. I guess that's Jesus. And you walk past it with nobody to tell you what's going on. So, yeah, you know, there is reason for a guide sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Next question.
How many more of these do we have?
I told you I had 10. We're on 7.
Wow. Okay.
All right. It says, hey, has Anne left the show? That's from Carol. Carol didn't tell me where she's from. I've not left the show. I'm back. I was just on a hiatus.
Okay. Next question.
Hey, you guys. Just wondering, what's the longest you've gone in between trips? And that is from Jillian in Ohio. I think my longest is, I think I went a couple of years without going. I think 2 years has been maybe a year and a half.
I think 4 years for me since I got married.
Wow, really?
Yeah, from 06, we went down when you started working there, to 2010, the first time we took Andy.
Huh. I didn't realize it was that long. I think the longest I can remember, I'm pretty sure, is 2 years.
Yeah, for me, it's 4. I don't think there's been a longer hiatus than that. And my wife and I are talking about taking another long hiatus here real soon.
Really? How come?
Just because, you know, they're in the process of building so much stuff. And, you know, at some point, our kids need to see other parts of the country.
Yeah. The only reason that I kind of get to go back as frequently as I have in my 2 years has only been my longest is because I did live down there. I still have a lot of friends down there. One of my best friends lives down there still. So when I would fly back, you know, I wasn't paying for a resort or anything like that. And I could usually get in with my friends that still work at the park. If I went by myself and I was only there for a couple of days, they could get me in on their guest pass. So that's the only reason I kind of have gotten to go as frequently as I have when I didn't have an annual pass.
Okay, what's next?
All right. Do you guys have any holiday Disney vacations planned? I know y'all went last year, and from what I remember, it seems to be a bit of a tradition. Do you guys do any other Disney-themed holiday traditions? That is from Kevin in Virginia.
Do we do any other Disney-themed holiday traditions?
I dress up as Minnie Mouse and walk around my neighborhood.
That's true. I've seen you do that.
Yeah. That's not Christmas. I do it every weekend.
Much like Uncle Scrooge in Mickey Mouse's A Christmas Carol, I dream about giants coming and giving me gigantic turkey legs on Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I guess I don't really have any other Disney traditions. I mean, my kids' stockings are both from the Days of Christmas shop. Actually, I think our tree skirt is from the Days of Christmas shop. I think we have the plate we lay out cookies and milk for Santa is from the Days of Christmas shop. A number of ornaments on my tree.
Yeah, I can't think of any Disney traditions either. Because honestly, I mean, do we watch the Disney parade ever? I don't even think we do that on Christmas morning.
Well, certainly not since it's no longer a parade.
Yeah.
You know, now that it's just, and look, here's Christina Aguilera at the Grand Floridian.
I think it's Ariana Grande now. Christina Aguilera, so 2005.
Okay, sorry, jeez. That tells you how long it's been since we've watched.
After she went dirty on everybody, Disney didn't want her anymore.
I mean, I don't blame her. Girl's going to get a little bit dirty.
And I mean, going to Disney during Christmas, I don't really think it's that much of a tradition for us. I think it just so happened that we did it did we do it the year before last, too?
I don't think so. I remember the first time I remember us doing it was my sophomore year of college.
Yeah.
But then, like, recently, we only started going back around Christmas in either 2010 or 2011. So Kat and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. There's rumors that the Osborne Lights are going to come back into Disney Springs. Until they do that, I don't really think I'm going to go back for the holidays.
Yeah, I hope so, because that new holiday show that I read about just sounds awful.
Bing bang hoop-de-doo Christmas time?
Yeah, that sounds so dumb.
All right, what else do we have?
So this is the last question.
Thank God.
It says, hey guys, have either of you ever attempted to recreate any Disney recipe at home? If so, how was it and what did you try? Also, could you share any recipes you may have? Thanks. That's from Sandra in Louisiana.
Well, Sandra, Dogzilla, if I may call you that.
I said I like it.
Yeah. I've got, I would say, at least 4 Disney cookbooks. I love making Disney recipes at home. The cheddar cheese soup from Le Cellier is super easy to make. I'm trying to think what else I've done. Because my wife got me the Food and Wine Festival cookbook 1 year, and you would be surprised how easy these recipes are, or at least the versions that they put in these cookbooks are to recreate.
Yeah. I don't think I've tried any Disney recipe. I've always thought about doing it. There's the truffle macaroni and cheese from Yachtsman Steakhouse. That's where I used to work. And I have had it over there before, and it's delicious. And I've found the recipe. But once I saw everything that went into it, I just couldn't bring myself to make it because it's just a lot of butter and heavy cream. And I know it'd be delicious, but if I'm going to make it, I wanted a lot of other people to be around to eat it with me. So I haven't done anything on my own. But Pinterest is a really good place to look for Disney recipes. They have almost all of them from the cookbooks that people have put onto, you know, blogs and everything like that. I have a Dole Whip recipe, which is, I mean, I don't think it's really Dole Whip, but it's just, you know, frozen.
Get vanilla ice cream and pineapple juice.
The end.
Go to, if you're not a member of the Mousellaneous Discussions group, go there, because even though I'm guessing they don't record shows anymore, Kate still posts recipes from time to time.
Okay, neat.
All right. So email us again, emhpodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top 5 lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Mousellaneous Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
The Extra Magic Hour is just about over.
Aww.
But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, well, that is just about going to do it for us for this episode of the Extra Magic Hour. But since we were talking about taking a break from Disney World.
Aww.
I know, it's no fun, but it's something that needs to be discussed.
Yes, I agree. I think it's time to take a bit of a break.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Wait, really? That's it?
Well, I mean, it's just, like, that's a weird... I thought you were going to have more to say about it than that.
Well, I was waiting for you to, like, go off on that.
Huh?
I was waiting for you to, like, play off of that.
Oh, yes, it is.
Why do you think it's time to take a break?
I mean, so much is still being built at this point. Like, so there's so much left to do, so much left to, what's the right way to say it? So much that is, like, in the future is coming. Just wait for this. Just wait for that. That I feel like it's okay to just wait for a little bit before the next trip.
Yeah, and plus, too, all, like, the new fill-in things that they're throwing out, you know, to promote Disney and stuff, it's gotten to the point now where it's just making me mad. It's not making me excited. There's no originality, no thought put into it. I feel like they're just dumping things out, and it's just... it's kind of... I don't know. It makes me mad, and it doesn't, I don't know. I just don't feel like they're putting much effort into what they could do to hold everyone over. It's just, and I've said it before, it just seemed like as of right now, the theme park just doesn't care as much as they used to about releasing new quick things like they used to do.
Well, I think in terms of big ideas, they definitely still care. In terms of big ideas, it's just that fill in. You know, I think if you take off the Disney glasses for a second, it's not unreasonable to what's the right way to say this? If you take off the Disney glasses for a second, you realize that it was, we have to be here where we are right now to get to where Disney says it's going to be in 2021. I mean, Harry Potter, they were so unprepared for Harry Potter when the second Universal announced that J.K. Rowling was going to have such a large role in building that section of their park. Disney should have immediately started work on a Star Wars land to rival it. And they are so far behind the eight ball right now in terms of that kind of experience that there's a lot of work to do.
Right.
And so when the Imagineers presented that first model and their first ideas for Star Wars land, and the board comes back and says this isn't good enough, A, that's a good thing. I mean, it really in the long run is going to be a good thing. But B, how much further back did that set the company of you got this park, the studios, which honestly, Disney should be letting people into for free.
Yeah. I mean, my kind of like last straw to where I felt like I would be okay taking a 2-year break or whatever from Disney was honestly the announcement of their Christmas replacement this year for the Osborne Lights. It just sounds so dumb and so stupid and such a like quick throw together thing. And they obviously could have done something so much better. It didn't even have to be in Hollywood Studios, you know, but just to do another projection show on, you know, it's like that was stuff like that where it's just no thought at all. And it's so much money to go down there now, you know, it makes no sense.
Well, I will say that I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but the videos I've seen of it to me, it doesn't look that bad. It looks like a fun, cute little show. It's just, it's very different from what the Osborne Lights were, that maybe for the studio specifically, they would have been better off not doing anything, at least this year.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think that show is what's going to pull people back into Hollywood Studios while it's under construction.
Well, I think maybe you're overthinking that because I don't think Disney is putting a lot of faith in Hollywood Studios for the time being.
Yeah, but
that's just my guess.
No, I agree. Like, you're right. They're not putting anything into Hollywood Studios. I mean, basically, the way I look at it is that they're down a park right now, and while they're down a park, they should find better ways to make up for it in the three remaining parks they have, or, you know, Disney Springs or the resorts or whatever, and they're just not doing it. They're just throwing up stupid little things, and now they're, you know, raising the prices, and, like, I don't know, to me, there is just nothing to show for the price raise. You know, I can't, another dessert party, another dance party, another projection show, that's all they're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of the nature of the theme park industry, though, to a certain extent. Now, I agree with you. Like, after we run this race, I'll probably want to go out to California to complete the Coast to Coast for 2017. But, yeah. I'd be okay sort of taking a knee on Disney until, I don't know, maybe the 50th anniversary when all this stuff is supposed to be at full build-out.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed.
All right. Well, bye, I guess.
Bye.